Hi everyone, it's Kira.
And Julia.
This episode is going to be PG-13 for some language and sensitive topics.
So just beware, and we hope you enjoy.
I'm Quinn Venna, and you're listening to a coming-of-age movie.
What's up, everyone? I'm Kira.
And I'm Julia. Welcome and welcome back to a coming-of-age movie.
This week, we're super excited to be joined by the hilarious and talented YouTube content creator, Quinn Bennett.
Quinn, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
So, how are
Appreciate
you
it.
doing?
Could be better. I'm in a lot of pain today. I'm trying to get through it. I have so much stuff I need to get done. I have like all these different projects I'm working on, so I'm like scrambling with a headache of typing on my computer, praying like, oh, please go away. I'm trying my best though. I'm trying my
I'm
best.
sorry. I mean, I'm glad you're here, but I hope you get through it. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, well, let's just jump right into the questions then. Just, very basic. When and why did you first start your YouTube channel?
Shoot. I started YouTube like a while ago when I think I was 12, so I wasn't technically allowed to have a YouTube channel. But I was 12 and I started off making these Lego stop motion videos. They were very cringe, but I didn't really have any friends. I wanted to be a filmmaker for the longest. I didn't have any friends to make movies with, so I was like, fuck it, I'll just do it with these little Lego figures and call it a day. And so I did that for a while. And then from there, I was like, okay, I wasn't enjoying that. I deleted that channel and then I started doing an editing channel where I taught people how to edit and do more like visual effects style stuff in Final Cut, which was kind of something that not many people did. And from there, I kind of grew an audience. And then I again, once again, was like, all right, I'm liking this. Jump ship. Decided to get more into the personality stuff about 2.5, 3-ish years ago. And then it's been history ever since. And I guess I just started because, like I said, I always wanted to be a filmmaker. I was very into editing, and people were like, oh, you're funny. And I was like, okay, cool. I'll make a YouTube channel about my personality instead now.
Very cool.
So, did you know that you were going to end up with the personality stuff, or did you just wanted to see where it went from the beginning?
Like I said, I just kind of did what I liked. Like I started off doing the Lego stuff, did the editing. The editing was very draining for me because I felt like people were demanding me to do like X video for them to learn something, and no one really cared about how I was doing because I started going through more of my health shit then, and I was like, yeah, I can't post that much. People were like, ah, fuck you, upload another tutorial. I don't give a fuck. And I was like, ugh. So I decided I think the personality thing would be more of a fit for me, as well as it's definitely more fun. Like I'd rather act like an idiot in front of a camera than teach people how to edit. So it just kind of became something I was like, oh, I'll try this. And then it ended up being something that I liked a lot more.
That's awesome. What are your favorite kinds of videos to make?
Shoot, that's hard. Honestly, any video I've made with my friends is normally pretty fun. Like when I'll do talent shows with them, or I'll go fuck around on Omegle with them, or I will do any sort of like viewer interaction with my friends. I just think that's always a good time because it's like a group of people I already have fun with. And on top of that, we're making a video.
You got to kind of like bounce off of people instead of just like
Yeah,
talking to
yeah.
yourself for a
And
while.
my friends are hilarious, so it works out.
And what are like some of the weirdest videos you've ever made, either in like production or like the final product?
Aside from like me dressing up as a girl on Omegle and the talking to like weird horny like 40-year-old men that have like their itchy fingers out, honestly, a lot of videos where it involves, I would say, either viewers or like anything where I'm doing something that I probably shouldn't be doing on the internet, like going on Tinder as a girl or just overall trolling people, Those normally end up very weird. A lot of times in editing, I'll have to cut stuff out. There will be people. I remember for like the prank call videos I did, the scammers were getting like very detailed about certain NSFW acts that they were doing to said thing on the phone because they were mad at me. Like it was just a lot of weird shit. On Omegle, I gotta like while editing, I gotta cover my eyes half the time because I'm seeing some egregious shit that I saw like 30 minutes prior, and I'm like, damn, I don't want to see this again. And then for overall like viewer interaction videos, my viewers, love them to death, but they're a little crazy. I mean, it's not surprising considering, they're my viewers. But sometimes they will just say the most out of pocket shit in like the interactive ones, and I'm like, bro, I gotta cut this shit out. This is funny, but this is terrible. So I would just say anything like that. Normally when I'm kind of just sitting in my room or just talking, it's more of a controlled thing. There's less like crazy aspects to it, but I prefer making content where there's kind of a edge or something that could go awry because it's more fun for me.
That's what people want to see, because like no one's gonna click like, oh, me just like, you know, having a nice conversation to myself. Like they want like, oh my god, is something going wrong? That's what they want.
Yeah. Anything that's kind of chaotic and funny is my lane, essentially, and I enjoy it. It's just sometimes you gotta go through some shit to find the good videos or get the good footage or sit there for hours. But yeah, normally it pays off.
Yeah. And speaking of like what viewers want to see, the YouTube algorithm is like really, really weird, and there's kind of like no way to predict what's going to do well. So do you try to base your content off what you think is going to do well, or you kind of just do what you want and hope for the best?
I would say for most YouTubers that are like smart about it, it's kind of a balance of both. Because you can get very, very successful by just chasing the algorithm. But eventually you'll get pigeonholed into some type of content that you either don't enjoy making anymore, or you will feel like it's very restrictive, or you'll want to like branch out, and you can't do that considering your audience is only with you for that said content. And then there's also people that literally give zero fucks about the algorithm and only do what they like. And I would say either way, if you only do what you like, you're going to be less successful, but you'll be like, I presume, happier. But if success is part of your like happiness meter, you're going to be less happy. And then if you only do the algorithm stuff, you'll get like that initial dopamine hit, like, oh my God, I'm getting views, you know, this is working, da da da. And then like once you're pigeonholed into like people only wanting to see you, for me example, like I'll only put on a wig and dress up as a girl, it can get quite frustrating when that's something that you don't want to do every video. For me, I've always tried to do like a balance of both. I would say I got pigeonholed into the Omegle route a little bit, but I didn't intentionally fit into that. I always did a variety of stuff, even from the start. And I would do like an Omegle video like once a month or some change, something like that. And then those all kind of hit the algorithm at the same time. So that's what a lot of my audience found me through. So I tried to do the balance stuff the best possible. It just didn't work out as well for me as I wanted it to. But I would say it's better for me, like where I am now, I still kind of do that. I do what I want. Although I want it to be successful at the same time. Like I wouldn't just do a video where I just sit there talking about how my dog took a shit on my bed instead of doing something like, oh, Discord's smarter than a fifth grader. That's an idea I like, but I know it will do well because it has like a big brand Discord attached to it. People also know what smarter than a fifth grader is. And they're like, oh, well, I can see how this could be funny. So I would say I do a bit of both. I have friends of mine that only do like for example, the girl trolling on Omegle type stuff. And they are definitely more successful than me numerically, but I've talked to them like off screen, a couple of people that do like similar stuff, and they seem to be frustrated in the fact that they can't branch out. And they envy the fact that I do like variety content, but they also understand that with that comes like slower numerical success and views, subscribers, whatever. And that's just something you have to accept until it pays off. Because in the end, for me, I will be happy doing what I'm doing now at a bigger scale than getting a bigger scale now and then hating it, right?
Yeah. I think it's really good that you're like found a balance, like you were saying. And it's also annoying because a lot of creators will like find something that worked for them once and then just keep making the same thing, like the same exact thing with like no variety, and it's just like,
yeah,
they still like get the numbers, but like it's not like even entertaining really. It's just like 12-year-olds watching it being like, ha, funny.
Yeah, it does get kind of redundant too, like that. Like I said, for that you also get a lot more success, but you will fizzle out a lot quicker because people are going to get bored.
Yeah,
and it's funny because if people get bored, but then you do anything else and they're like, I don't like this. So it's like, yeah, well, what like, the fuck do you want? Like,
and that's YouTube.
Yeah.
So you were saying that you made a lot of videos on Omegle. And what is like some of the weirdest stuff you've seen on there?
Besides, like we know a lot of weird men on there and stuff, but anything like else?
Dude, I'm trying to think. I feel like most of the weird stuff that like I didn't have to cut out is definitely already on my channel. I met a lot of cool people on there. I'm trying to think what like the weirdest thing I've seen that isn't regarding that. It's kind of hard. Because I want to say something, but it is regarding that. It's very fucked up. So I don't think you're...
I want to hear it, but I'm really scared. But maybe a censored version?
Ah, I don't know what I would say.
Okay.
It was just very, very, very weird. There's just a lot of weird shit on there. There's just a lot.
Yeah.
It's not. Listen, if you're not an able-bodied adult, I think the reason people like Omegle videos so much is because a lot of people are too scared to go on there themselves. Good. Don't go on there. It's terrible. You can get IP grabbed. You can get flashed from multiple different, you know, parts of whatever person's body they're trying to display. You'll see people doing like illicit substances, like stuff like that. You'll see a lot of stuff. I have seen some pretty cool stuff on there though. Like I remember one time there was this dude who was, he had like a rave in his room. Ooh. Yeah, it was really cool. And then he had like pyrotechnics and like fire and shit. It was very interesting, but I was like, bro, you're gonna kill yourself with all these fire and shit. But it was very cool. It was like this like 26 year old dude who was just like, I don't know, I think he was a DJ or something. It was, that was cool. But a lot of other stuff I see on there is just, yeah, the cool stuff's on my channel. The stuff that I have to cut out is, I wish I could cut it out from my memory too. I don't want to relive that shit.
That's so sad. And like you were saying, people watch your videos instead of going on because they get the security of the censoring and the editing. And
yeah, I think that's why people like them so much. Obviously, you can't just be sitting there like, and then just have the people on Omegle do all the work for the entertainment value. But I feel like the reason they do so well is because most people are scared to go on there themselves. I see a lot of comments reflecting that same sentiment too on like my videos and other people who've done them too.
You're making a sacrifice for everyone else's entertainment. Your memory is scarred. Anyway,
yes.
Just curious, do you ever get like recognized on there from like other videos that you've made?
Sometimes, yeah. On Omegle, I get recognized on occasion. I used to get recognized a lot more back when I at the peak of all the Omegle shit. But yeah, I would say like every time I go on there, I get recognized at least once or twice.
Oh wow.
Yeah. And it's cool meeting people that watch me. But like I said, my viewers, y'all a little crazy. Sometimes they'll just say some shit. I'm like, bro, I know you want to be in the video, but goddamn.
I'm a person.
And you've also made a few videos using Fiverr. So yes. What's your favorite thing you've purchased from there?
I think I ordered a video of this one. His literal, like his Fiverr tag was, I will be African funny man and say whatever you want or something like that. So I ordered that to roast one of my friends, Jay, where I just made him call him like an idiot and say that he was dumb and all that. That shit was funny as hell. Cause I had my friend Jay on the call and he was reacting to it. That was one of my probably favorite Fiverr purchases. Another one that was really funny was I also, for my friend Nick's birthday, I had, there was a picture of him he took in like a tutu where like, it was very like him trying to be like scandalous, but it was not scandalous at all. It was just him embarrassing himself. And he posted it in my Discord and then in some other places, like not giving a fuck. And I was like, okay, bet, I'm gonna use this. I made a compilation of that shit in Photoshop. And then I put it on Fiverr and I had hired these two dudes to dance in front of it with like their green screen or whatever. And say that he looked, you know, caught in his pink tutu and say happy birthday and dance. And it was the funniest shit ever. Cause he was like, yeah, it's just, I like buying stuff like that for my friends and seeing the reaction. I also remember I paid some kid to just sit in a chair in like a lake or something. I don't know. It was the weirdest thing ever. It was great though. I mean, I was like, hey, I'll pay you money to sit in a chair. Sure. So yeah, those are probably my top three.
Were you like sponsored by them or do you just give them money? Like,
no, I just waste my money for the video. If I was sponsored, that'd be great. Honestly, I know they've sponsored some bigger YouTubers where they'll give them like a $700 budget or some crazy shit. But no, I've just wasted like probably at minimum $100 or $200 on one per video on that shit. That's why I don't make them super often.
Yeah, but I mean, they're funny.
Yeah.
And if you had to sell something on Fiverr, what would you sell?
I'd probably be one of those people that said shit just like that you wanted me to say. I feel like that'd be funny. I also feel like that would get me in a lot of trouble, though. Yeah, but I feel like that would be funny. I'd have fun with that. People could pay me to cuss out their friends. Oh, that sounds like a great time. Oh yeah, that's probably will be my thing. I will cuss out your friends for money.
Sounds like great therapy for you, honestly.
Yeah. Sometimes you need to let a couple, you know, curse words out and feel a little better.
And how would you describe your relationship with your fans?
Like I said, we have kind of a very banter-based relationship. Like, they could go in my chat and call me ugly, and then I'll call them ugly back. Or it's kind of a tit-for-tat. We crack jokes about each other. I crack jokes about them, back and forth kind of situation. Obviously, when you do that a lot, people, to so many people at the same time, the boundaries can get kind of misconstrued on occasion. Like, people take a joke way too far. Or on the flip side, I will take a joke too far, whatever. But most of the time it works out, and it's very fun to have like a kind of playful banter relationship with my audience. I'm not one of those people who enjoys having an audience that just coddles me about everything, or like, I want obviously support for things I do, but I also think it's fun to have like occasional like shit talk and banter, because that makes stuff interesting. It's also good for content. If I ever need to like react to my audience, like I remember one time everyone roasted me on my Instagram post, and that was like a video that I made, and it was funny. So like I said, I enjoy it. I know it's not for everyone, because, you know, sometimes, like I said, people take it too far and then they'll actually say some shit that's like rude. But for me, I'm used to it and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any like especially weird or cool fan experiences?
One time, this is the only time I've ever interacted with someone who knew who I was IRL. They're actually my friend now. One of my friends knew a guy who knew who I was because he recognized my sister when they were going to like Target as a group. And I thought they just found this random dude at Target and brought him to my house. I was like, y'all are fucking crazy. Found out later that he actually knew my friend that he was with, and they were friends. And then so he was over at my house for the next couple hours, we were just chatting shit. And now, you know, he's my friend. Another weird experience I would say is I had to deal with a lot of, I'll turn this into like a positive lesson thing, okay? Since, you know, I can make this very weird, but I'm gonna be very, you know, upbeating. If you're a younger person on the internet, okay, be careful with who you interact with. When I was a lot tinier, this is before I did YouTube on my current channel, I was kind of a Twitch streamer mainly, and I had a lot of weirder, older guys watching me on Twitch, and I didn't really think anything of it at the time, because I was very much in the mindset of I'm tiny, I need viewers, so I'll keep what I can get. And I wasn't thinking that I should probably just expel those people from the viewer list like early as possible, so I didn't have to deal with them down the line. So if you're one of those people who's like has a smaller audience or is trying to do something like similar, and you're putting up with weirdos or people that are being rude to you when you're tiny, that is just going to grow when you're bigger, and you're gonna have to deal with that shit later. Just cut them out now. The three extra viewers they're gonna give you is not worth it, okay? I'm telling you. And so I had this one dude who was like very nice but very weird. Like, he would give me, and it was very uncomfortable for me, because if someone's giving you like hundreds of dollars and they're like, be my friend, it's kind of hard to be like no, I'm that's not what I'm streaming for. Like, you can go talk to someone else somewhere else and become a friend. So I was always struggled with being like, okay, well, thank you, but like, I'm not gonna be your friend. Like, I wouldn't say that. I would just say thank you and ignore the friend part, which I would recommend most people to do. And it got really weird when he started bringing up like a lot of talks of like me being like the youngest this, or like getting this before 18, and da da da. And like, it seemed like it was more from a supportive angle at the time, where it's like, oh, be the first, like, or one of the youngest people to get partnered on Twitch or this. Cause I've always been pretty young in most of the spaces I've been in, aside from me now, I'm getting fucking old. And he was very pushy about like bringing up my age all the time, which, like I said, didn't, hindsight, weird as shit, but at the time I didn't really notice anything. And then he started bringing up, like certain things about do you guys censor this podcast, or am I gonna have to like self-censor?
It's fine. Yeah, well it's okay.
Okay, I apologize. I feel like I'm probably the worst guest you ever had. You're like, damn, I'm gonna have to edit.
It's okay. So we'll mark it, we'll say like PG-13.
So I had people, he would mention like pedophilia in passing, or like it was just weird. And it wasn't in from the space of he was acting like that, but he was bringing it up a little too frequently to where I was like, okay, like what is your deal? Like, it's almost like you're trying to front for how you actually, or what your real intentions were. And then, so I kind of forgot about him for a while. And then I was going to go to TwitchCon in 2019, I think, because I went in 2017, didn't go in 2018, and then I was going to go in 2019. Or no, I did go in 2018, but I was going to go in 2019 again. I had a couple of events planned at TwitchCon. And around this time, I also had, like I said, some like older dudes that were watching me that were weird on top of this dude. And they were, they kept saying stuff like, and I think I was 16 or 17. They kept saying stuff like, oh, I can't wait to meet you at TwitchCon, da, 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 which like would be fine if it was a normal viewer, but they were just very pushy about a lot of things. And then they would start bringing up stuff like, you know, is your dad going to be with you? Or like, you know, I want to make sure you're going to be alone. Or like, they're like, oh, I'll make good friends with your dad. Like, or, you know, I'll make sure to catch you. Or are you going to be walking around the convention alone? Like very weird shit. And this was from like 3 or 4 people. And I was a little bit like, the previous year I went to TwitchCon, I was with a group of friends and they were going again this year. And I was like, hey, can I like just be around you guys like the whole time? I don't want to get caught out. And then they just started taking it too far, and it was like became like almost threatening of like certain like actions of assault, stuff like that. And so I decided to just not fucking go. I had to cancel like 4 of my panels. I just didn't go because I didn't want to have to deal with seeing these weirdos in real life and potentially having a situation happen. So I would say stuff like that happened. That's why I would say, like I said, if you're younger online, be careful of what company you allow to be around you, because I feel like it can become very dangerous very quickly if you're not consciously aware of that. And since I know this podcast is like for, you know, younger people growing up or like people our age, I would say on the internet, like, be very careful of that sort of thing. So yeah, that was probably the weirdest but almost most dangerous experience I've had with a viewer or a couple viewers of mine. And yeah, it was very fucked up. So that's what I'm saying, be careful.
Thank you for sharing that story with us. It's very good lesson. And very creepy.
And so what is something that you have learned about being a content creator, or were there any obstacles that you faced to get to where you are today?
Biggest thing about being a content creator is probably persistence and consistency. I know a lot of people want to do YouTube or Twitch or any other form of social media, et cetera, et cetera. Or even like make films, stuff like that. And they just give up so fucking quickly. And I realized, I think a lot of those people that actually give up quickly aren't genuinely passionate about making videos or that sort of thing. They just want the numeric success or like the YouTuber lifestyle or whatever. Cause I feel like I can name 30 people I know that went to my high school that wanted to do YouTube, tried it for like a month and then gave up because it was A, too much work, or B, they didn't have enough success at the same time, or C, they got embarrassed. Like one of the three. And so I would say if you're genuinely passionate about it and you keep trying, you should be able to find success if you're good at what you're doing. I would say if you're not passionate and you just want the status or whatever the hell comes with whatever form of content you want, like being a musician, da, 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 whatever, or fame, you're gonna hate getting to that point. And then once you're at that point, you're gonna hate it because what you got famous for is something you don't actually enjoy. So I would say just do what you like. Biggest lesson I also learned about content creation is coming up with like good ideas, executing them, and then being proud of it is like a very hard process to consistently do. So I would say sometimes you're going to have to make a video that isn't like your favorite or you don't think is the greatest to keep up with being consistent so that you can get to videos that are better or greater. Like there have been videos I've uploaded where I'm like, this video is just kind of mid, or I didn't like it that much. And I'm not saying that, like, I think from an outside looking in, the video was mid, but I would say, like, from me personally, I just, it wasn't my favorite idea. It wasn't my favorite thing to execute. And that made it so much harder to do. And some of those videos have been one of the more successful ones on my channel. Like, people just love them for whatever reason. I'm like, okay, I don't know. Like, so it just kind of depends. So I would say be consistent. If you actually like it, you should be able to find at least some form of success, whether that's like personal satisfaction, numeric, whatever your measure of success is.
Yeah, I feel like we can relate to a lot of that, like, you know, not feeling like our content is the best or whatever. And like you were saying, people feeling like embarrassed of their work, whatever. Like, I had one of my very close friends say to me, like, oh, like, you know, I wish I could, you know, do a podcast. Like, I wish I could do what you do. I'm like, oh, like, just do it. And he's like, well, like, he's like, I can't put myself out there like that. Like, he's like, I just am not brave. He was like, you're really brave for that. And I was like, what do you mean brave? Like, so it's just like you're saying, just people give up because very easily. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially in high school, if you want to be a YouTuber, do a podcast, anything like that, listen, do it. Don't fucking tell anyone. Don't tell anyone.
We used fake names for a month. So
yeah. Don't tell your friends. Don't tell people I go to school. Don't say shit. Just do it. Because here's the thing. If you start and you have like 2 subscribers, you're getting like 3-4 views, people are going to make fun of you. Even if your content's good, it does not fucking matter. You could be making like Mr. Beast level content, but if you have 2 viewers, people are going to make fun of you. The second you have views, you have subscribers, you could be making My Little Pony videos. People are still going to be like, damn, that's crazy. I'm kind of jealous. Like, it's only cringe before you're successful. So don't tell anyone about it and don't let them try to ruin that for you. Just do it.
Names until we interviewed someone who, like, on Instagram, it was like followed by like 20 people, whatever. We're like, oh, they're going to see it. Like, we have to tell people now. So
yeah. If you do use a fake name or like a username online, which like a lot of people do, like I said, don't tell people about it. Like, if you don't want people to find you, make a fake name. You're going to have to stick with that fake name forever. So, you know, make sure you like it. But yeah, that way people won't find your shit.
Yeah, I have a fake name. It's so bad. Oof. I wish I would spend so much money to just change it. So like, oh
my God. So just not, well, we have real names now, but.
Oh yeah, yeah.
In the beginning, we used different names. And then we had to make a video being like, oh, just kidding. This is not our name.
Yeah, that was fun.
Anyway, so do you want to continue pursuing YouTube as you get older, or are there other career paths that you're interested in?
Honestly, YouTube is probably the go-to for me at the moment. I'm still very young, so I don't really know. I'm studying for a business degree in college right now. So, I mean, I guess I could take that somewhere. I am more kind of opting for that as like, you know, plan B. Hopefully in these 4 years, I can figure some shit out. But I want to do something with regards to content creation, online entertainment, streaming, live streaming, whatever, anything like that is going to be my kind of lane, because this is all I've really ever done in my life. Like, even when I wasn't posting on YouTube, I was just making videos in my room by myself. I remember one time with my friends, we had some like bootleg iCarly show we did. I made a fucking website for it. Like, we thought we were the shit. Okay, we thought we were banging in that, and we were probably making the cringiest shit alive. But I was always just making my own stuff, so I will probably do something like that where I can continue to do that, can be monetarily profitable. Like, YouTube is just happens to be the way I can do it and have it be like a career for me, right? So as long as I can do that and make it a career and enjoy it, or like sustain myself doing content creation, I will attempt to do that.
Can you tell us about some upcoming plans or goals you have for content creation, or just in general?
I have a lot of stuff planned. A lot of it I cannot talk about because it's like, you know, signing like NDAs, legal shit. But yeah, like I said, big things are coming. A lot of big things. I cannot talk about any of them though. I guess long-term goals, I would say I want to do content creation full-time, because right now it's more of a part-time thing because I'm still in school, whatever. But I don't know. If I am able to do it full-time, I'm not quite sure whether or not I'll drop out of school or continue. Right now I'm leaning toward continue, because I feel like a lot of YouTubers, they'll like drop out of school and then they'll like make vlogs. They're like, oh, I'm gonna try to go back to college, and then it never fucking works out. Like, anyone that ever tries to go back, they never go back and stick with it. So I'm like, I might as well stick with it now that I'm here, so I don't have to try to come back later and fail like 3 times.
Yeah. And what advice would you give to someone trying to start a YouTube career?
Like I said, don't tell anyone about it, okay? I know this sounds like really fucking ass backward advice, like, oh, you need your friend's support. Listen, don't tell no one, okay? Do it in silence. Move in silence so they don't kill your blessing before it comes. You're gonna have to be consistent. I would say, you know, at least post once a week. If you post twice a week, listen, algorithm loves that shit. Twice a week, okay? That's like the perfect amount to where you're not burning yourself out, but you're also hitting the algorithm's like pressure point. Second of all, find a balance of doing stuff you like and stuff that's successful if you care about being successful. If you don't care about being successful, okay, like take a shit, film it, post it on YouTube. Like, I don't care. But if you want to be successful, do a balance of stuff you like and stuff that works with the algorithm. Don't just do stuff with the algorithm because, like I said, you will become unhappy later. I've met so many people that have been in that situation. It's great at first, okay? When you see the numbers going up, it's amazing. But once, you know, they slow down a little bit and you got to, like, continue to make that content, it's going to be hard. So do stuff you like first and then see if it works second. And then another thing I would say is don't let people online, you know, talking shit or making assumptions about you or trying to, like, I don't know, push your boundaries, whatever, ruin content creation for you. Especially if you're live streaming and you got, like, people in the chat saying shit to you. Just try your best to get people to moderate that or don't look at the negative stuff. Just stick with doing what you're doing. Unless you do some cancelable shit. Like, don't be an egregious asshole on the internet where people are like, oh my God, you know, they're so mean. Be a good person. But don't listen to, like, you know, the occasional, like, oh, you ugly as fuck. Or, like, you know, you sound stupid. Like, don't listen to that stuff, okay? Just do you.
Nice. Good advice. Well, thanks so much for coming on. We had such a great time.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. And if people want to follow you online, where can they do that?
I have a YouTube channel. It's Quinn Bennett. My last name is spelled different. Okay. It's Bennett. A lot of people think it's Bennett or whatever the hell. Which is that. I also have a Twitch, same spelling, an Instagram and a Twitter.
And for anybody listening at home, you can follow our social medias. Our Instagram and TikTok is at acoam.podcast, and our Twitter is at acoam_podcast. You can follow us there to keep up and hear about more awesome guests like Quinn.
And thank you all so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next week on a coming-of-age movie.